The writer's colony at Dairy Hollow, situated on a steep mountain ridge just north of downtown Eureka Springs, is usually busy with up-and-coming authors looking to make the New York Times best-selling list. But last weekend, New York Times best-selling author Charlaine Harris paid the colony a visit, thrilling residents. Two public events staged at the Crescent Hotel and Peel Mansion in Bentonville drew out nearly 200 followers and fellow writers who paid to hear Harris speak. All proceeds were donated to the writers' colony at Dairy Hollow, one of the few such colonies in the South that provides 60 residencies to writers from all genres for only $45 a day, the rest subsidized by foundations and colony patrons. But in between lunch and her first talk at the Crescent, Harris sat for a bit in one of the colony's writing suites, which she said had a very fertile atmosphere.
I think it's great for writers to have a place where they can go and be quiet, where they can turn off their television, they can turn off their telephone, their family is not there, which, you know, of course, people love their families, but when you're trying to write, you really don't want anybody else around. You want to be able to shut the door and do the work. And that's why this place is so fantastic.
Harris understands the deep discipline it takes to write. She started in 1981 creating murder mysteries. A decade later, she got hooked on serial mysteries featuring strong young working class female protagonists. But her career took its current trajectory in 2001 with the Sookie Stackhouse urban fantasy series. Sookie's a pretty blonde telepathic waitress who inhabits a northern Louisiana bar in the fictional impoverished town of Bonton, along with drunken Cajuns, devout Pentecostals, and creepy hustlers. Sookie must also reckon with a metaphysical culture comprised of vampires, werewolves, fairies, witches, and shapeshifters, some benevolent, but mostly malevolent. Harris has written a dozen titles so far in the Sookie Stackhouse series, but her fan base instantly swelled when one of her books was picked up and adapted for HBO television by writer Alan Ball as True Blood. It premiered in the autumn of 2008 and is now in its fifth season. Here's a clip of Sookie, Anna Paquin, meeting Bill the Vampire, played by Stephen Moyer, who ends up falling for her.
What are you?
I told you, I'm a waitress.
No. You're something more than that. You're something more than human.
I beg your pardon?
Sookie. It's an unusual name, Sookie. Is it short for something else?
Nope. Just plain Sookie.
May I call on you sometime?
Which he does. They fall in love and somehow negotiate a relationship between the undead and the living. Bill, an eternally handsome southern vampire who was bitten during the Civil War, is a good match for Sookie, who's deeply principled in both this series and books.
Because I think every time you look in the mirror, you ask yourself, am I doing the right thing today? Was I kind today? Was I thoughtful of other people today? Am I too proud? Am I too haughty? And to me, life is a lot about self-reflection. Not that I'm always accurate and not that I'm an especially nice person, but I think that that should be a big part of everybody's life. And so therefore, since I wanted to make Sookie a likable person, self-reflection is a big part of her life, and self-evaluation and making the best of what she has, which I think is the cornerstone of her existence.
Despite being an orphan, not to mention a victim by the hands of an evil uncle, Sookie Stackhouse has cultivated tremendous mindfulness, which carries her through all sorts of harrowing situations. Harris's Southern Vampire series is clearly at the core and very much behind the torrent of vampire mania, including Stephanie Meyer's insanely popular Twilight franchise.
I think that this is what I think. Now, if you ask me another day, I'd give a different answer. But most often, I think it's because our culture is so youth-obsessed and physical perfection obsessed, that the vampire represents an ideal of physical perfection kept at its height without effort. I mean, vampires never have to have a knee replacement. They never need to get bifocals. They'll never have to go on Medicaid. And I think that is the Western culture ideal.
Because unless they're staked in the heart or are purposely exposed to sunlight, vampires do not die. Harris will admit to having fed off a few Gothic writers in her day, especially Anne Rice. But Charlaine Harris's tales appeal to all ages.
I have a very wide range of core readers. Very often at my signings, I'll get three generations of the same family who come together. And I think that's wonderful to think of families talking about the books while they're doing the dishes, while they're out picking apples, while they're in the car going to shop. To me, it's fantastic to think about people talking about the characters and the issues in the books.
And obviously, young readers will grow and change as Harris's characters grow and change and shapeshift.
Well, the books are obviously all part of a bigger story. And I know where the bigger story is going, but it's also necessary to provide an open and shut story within each book. And sometimes I achieve that and sometimes I don't. When I read criticism of my books, which I do if I trust the source, because some criticisms are quite valid and things I need to think about, a lot of them say, well, this book was obviously a transitional book. And I'm going, well, they're all transitional books. They're all books where something pivotal changes and takes the bigger arc in a different direction to my way of thinking.
So her characters either die or evolve. And civil rights, or in this case, vampires' rights, figure strongly in the television series, with honest, clean-living vampire political leaders advocating for the franchise. But Harris says that also streams through the books and does draw some parallels to the modern LGBTQ movement.
It's very deep in the books, and I'm always surprised when people just read them as adventures and they're, you know, their main interest in the book is who Sookie's going to end up with eventually, if she has to end up with somebody. I understand that, and I understand that the books are fun, even if you're not trying to look for a deeper meaning. But I do have an agenda, and I'm always glad when people say, you know, this is like saying GLBT people are not so bad. And I'm going, that's right. There are lots of people who just have never thought about that. They just don't think about it at all. And I'm going, don't you think if you live for 1,000 years, you would be tempted to experiment with almost any kind of sexuality? And don't you think that would actually be pretty much okay? And they're just going, oh, I never thought about it. And I'm going, well, you know, I'm just saying.
And while many of the vampires are entrenched in evil, some are given an opportunity to drop their habit due to the invention of modern manufactured bottled synthetic blood, a beverage branded, of course, True Blood. They can consciously choose to not feed on humans then and seek assimilation into human culture. But conversely, vampire blood, siphoned by humans and sold on the black market, is like meth times 10. So what does it taste like?
Yeesh, who knows? Probably pretty salty, I would think. Salty and minerally. That's my best guess.
And kind of thick, kind of coagulated in the
veins. That's what I would think. And cool. Not hot. Which would be like...
The HBO television series is explicit and sometimes excruciatingly gory compared to the books, which leave lots to the imagination. But in both, Sookie always somehow prevails, despite being the center of life and death supernatural circumstances, which leads to Harris herself, when not traveling to writers' conferences, media conventions, and national interviews, Her writing days are occupied by some pretty strange stuff. Still, this married mother of three, born in Tunica, Mississippi, and a creature of the rural South, is cloaked in provincial culture.
Well, I'm a Christian. And even though that seems crazy some days because it's hard. It's a very hard religion to practice. I'm still trying. And even though some days I think this is just a ridiculous thing to believe, nonetheless, I do believe it. And it's a huge part of my life.
And it's true. Everyone who meets her says Charlene Harris is generous, kind, patient, funny, and like Jesus, perceives all people, even supernatural hybrids, as God's creatures. Reporting for Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.